IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hi, and welcome back to IRS on the Road. It's been a beautiful fall week wherever we are. Autumn is upon us, and it's so beautiful. We're up in Park City, Utah this morning, and wow, the leaves are just becoming golden.
I'm going to drag Linda out of here when we're done kicking and screaming, but once she gets in the car and we go to Guardsman Pass, she's going to be glad she's there. The peak of autumn.
It's just that Richard really just doesn't have a lot to do, and I have a lot to do, man, but I am going to really love it. It'll be great.
You know, for us, we've said this on the show before, we've always thought of this is New Year's. This is when the new year really starts, when fall starts. It's the start of the school year. It's really, forget about January 1st. This is the new year. And we always get this feeling of sort of reawakened vibrance, just because there's something about autumn in the air.
It really is. It's such a beautiful time. And it's crisp also. Man, we have been hot this summer.
Yeah, we woke up today and it was cold.
It's just beautiful. So we have had an interesting week.
We have indeed. We're getting ready for a couple of events, a family event, most importantly, up in Jackson, Wyoming, where we used to go so often with the kids when they were young. And there's so many memories there. And some of them are a little crazy. You'd never believe it, like Billy Burgers and playing Jupiter from the Planets when we first see the Tetons, and singing with Hootie and the Blowfish and crazy things. Isn't it funny when you think of your family memories and they'd mean nothing to anyone else, but right. They mean a lot to us.
Right, exactly. But we're going up for a really special reason. It's Richard's
birthday. Don't mention the number. Don't.
Birthday. Okay.
It's a big birthday.
It's a big one. And all the kids are coming. We even heard from our son in Switzerland last night, and he is coming. We have one from Hawaii. We have them a lot, actually, in Utah and several in Arizona. So they're coming, and we're going to congregate and remember our lives together.
And we've got a really exciting event coming up at our house in Park City with one of Linda's cousins. Well, actually, she's the granddaughter, first cousin, who's a world-class violinist, and her boyfriend is maybe even more of a world-class pianist.
Oh, they're fabulous.
And a pianist is so good that we have to have the piano tuned the morning of the performance, so it'll be perfect.
Exactly. But, you know, that means all the windows need to be washed so we can see this beautiful weather and cleaning and organizing and food and all that stuff. So there's always a lot.
What do you think about when you first wake up in the morning? Because my partner, Linda, sitting here beside me, I know what she thinks. What do I have to do today?
What do I need to do today?
And I'm sitting there trying to think, what do I choose to do today? And sometimes that puts us in an interesting trajectory.
Yes, that's true.
Actually, the first thing we both think is that we need to get up and go to the bathroom.
Right. But it really is amazing how life just flows. It just keeps going. There are just so many beautiful things to experience. And luckily, even though we're kind of getting old, we have to admit that, honey, we're kind of getting old.
Kind of, but not really.
But it really is fun to think about a future. We know that there are many who are suffering. Oh, gosh, I just listened to a documentary on the Sudan last week. And it honestly, I was so sad. These poor people that are just ravaged by war and climate change and moving and mothers taking care of 8 and 10 little kids while their husbands go off to the military because that's the only way to, you know, to make money. Oh, my heart just aches for that. And I think we sometimes live in la la land, just everything's beautiful. And it is so many people in the world.
And different people live such different lives. We love to get up in the morning when we have a minute, or when we're doing choose to do's instead of have to do's, and just read the daily meditation from Richard Rohr, the Franciscan priest that we enjoy so much. And boy, does it put us in a different world. Let me read you one little thing from today. He starts out by saying, this is today's contemplation.
You just have to know that this man is really astonishing. He has is a Franciscan priest, as you mentioned, but he has spent so much of his time contemplating and thinking and conjuring up these fabulous, deeply spiritual and emotional and motivational ideas. So now with that,
he wrote a book called Falling Upward that's really worth looking at. But I just like how it contrasts with the craziness sometimes of our life. He says, on my better days, when I'm open, undefended, and immediately present, I can sometimes begin with a contemplative mind and heart. Often I can get there later in the day and even end there, but it is usually a second gaze for me. It's an hour-by-hour battle to try to find my solitude. My Franciscan tradition and superiors have allowed me to live these later years alone in a little hermitage behind the friary in the parish. When I am home, I am able to protect long hours of silence and solitude each day, which I fill with specific times of prayer, study, journaling and writing, spiritual reading, gardening, walking, and just gazing. It is a luxury that most folks probably don't have.
I think that's absolutely right.
I mean, don't you wish you could spend a whole day gazing and spiritual reading and journaling, studying? I mean, it sounds pretty awesome.
It really is. And he does mention that, you know, that's about 50% of his time. And the other time he's on the road speaking, inspiring people and so on. But wow, there are different times in life and there are different lifestyles that are really interesting.
But what we're leading into is our topic for today is friendship. And we've got a special guest we're going to introduce just before the break. But I think the reason I mentioned Richard Rohr, I mean, there's a guy whose time is spent in solitude. So he's by himself. He's not involved in friendship. And here we are with these crazy things of all the things we're trying to get done and a large family and trying to be present for all of our kids and grandkids and on and on and on. So we're on one end of the spectrum and he's on the other. And I bet he wishes he could borrow a little from us and we wish we could borrow a little from him. But in either case, where is the room for the friendship? And we want to talk a little about that in the second half of the show today and how difficult it is sometimes to find that kind of friendship that we all really need, we all really crave.
Now, you should know that we're thinking about this because we did a podcast this week with our family. Every 2 weeks, we get together with our all the children that can come chime in.
Online, on Zoom.
On Zoom, and we have a topic. And our special guest in the second half is our son,
Eli. Mystery guest. Oh, not a mystery anymore.
And not a mystery anymore. Our son, Eli, who found the most fantastic podcast. And we'll talk about that more, but it was about friendship and how often do we think about friendship? And it's made me think of so many things. So,
well, and that's another, I'm glad you brought that up, honey, because that is another one. The hallmark of ours on the road is always traditions and things we try to do with family, and ours are haphazard at times, but this is a fairly recent one of every 2 weeks, every fortnight, as the British would say, having what we've come to call a fortnightly, where we just all jump on Zoom. It's fairly late at night after the kids are in bed, and except for Tal.
It's
and
5 a.m. in the morning.
5 a.m.
So.
And for Jonah in Hawaii, it's still in the afternoon. But it's just, you know, we rotate who's in charge, and whoever's in charge sends a podcast or something to read or an article or sometimes even a book, and we just dig into it. And I tell you, there's no one I'd rather brainstorm with than our own kids. They're so, well, They're so brilliant. Let's just be objective here, right?
And I have to tell you, they did that on their own.
No help from us.
They became who they were. They did. It's absolutely amazing. But it was a really fascinating conversation. And I mean, we're going to save that for the second half. But I do think it's so important to contemplate your life and where we're going, because there's just so much busyness all the time. It seems like there's always something that needs to be done right in front of you, and you have to put out the fires and get it done. And there are just so many things that are important, I feel like, that are kind of falling by the wayside. Wow, we have so many grandchildren. I woke up this morning thinking, oh, I should text so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so.
And what do I have to do
just
today?
Let them know I'm thinking about them and so on. And it really is important to keep up our relationships, no matter how busy we are.
Well, and as you longtime listeners know, we're pretty spontaneous on this podcast. We don't plan ahead a long time. We usually just like to talk about what's on our mind that particular week and what we've been doing that week. And this has been a fun weekend. A couple of things we probably should mention, honey, because friendship is our topic. We were with some of our oldest friends the other night, people we knew back in graduate school in Boston. And we were just going to have dinner, and we looked at our watches, 3 hours later, and we were still there. The restaurant had closed, and they kept walking by us, and we finally realized they were trying to get us to leave. But that was a wonderful night. And then last night, talk about nostalgia. We went and saw Jersey Boys. And I mean, that was the music of our childhood. Now you're going to really figure out how old we are. But Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and wow, songs like Sherry and Big Girls Don't Cry and Short Shorts and Walk Like a Man and You Are Too Good to Be True. I mean, we were on memory lane last night, weren't we?
Yeah, that was so fun. It was so well done. And it's interesting because we were at what's called Pioneer Theater in Salt Lake, where really the old guard have been gathering for
yeah, we
a
were
long
kind
time.
Of about the average age.
Afterwards, yeah, afterwards we were talking to some friends who were just our age. And there is a lot of bad language in that show, we have to say. And these are the conservative.
Well, it's accurate for New Jersey.
Exactly. But we were the conservative of the conservative. And these little ladies came out and we talked for a while. And they said, oh, wasn't that fabulous? It was just such a uplifting show. And they said, oh my gosh, it was hard to get through all that language. But you know what? That is what happened. That is the way it was. That was so real. I mean, it was hard on us, but it was just so interesting to see. So I think that's really valuable that people can think that way.
Let's take a little break, and when we come back, we'll introduce our youngest son, Eli, who was the leader of this fortnightly discussion, and we'll thank him for getting us into the subject of friendship. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back with one of our favorite people in the world, our son Eli, who is number eight. Number eight.
You forgot there for a minute. it's
Eli,
easier to think that Charity's the youngest and Eli's
right,
next,
right.
So he must be number eight.
That's right.
You were counting through from the top.
Right. So you might
think by there? What my mom just said that maybe because they have so many kids just get lost.
We got to have our son. So Eli, now, can you hear us?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah,
So Eli, what made you, I mean, we say so much about Eli. He's our most artistic son. He's the best cook of all. He's the one that always enjoys the finer things of life,
music,
blah, blah,
art,
blah. And he's the best sports fan.
Yeah.
I don't have to listen to ESPN. I can just call Eli. And he's got four fantastic kids.
Absolutely.
And
incredible.
A wonderful wife, Julie. You
incredible.
Can't say enough about Julie. But Eli, what Why did you pick the friendship topic and just mention the discussion you sent out, and that'll get us into it?
Yeah, okay, awesome. Well, first of all, I want to say thanks for having me. It's pretty exciting to be on with you guys. And I just want to say that while it might seem like maybe my mom lost me in the shuffle there because she couldn't remember for a second what number kid I was, I assure you that that is not true. I have never felt lost in the shuffle. I feel so lucky to be the child of these amazing
that's
parents.
So nice.
And I feel lucky to be on here. And I assure you, whatever you think about my parents, they're actually even better than you think. They're incredible. So. So, but I'm so happy to be on here today. So the genesis of this is it's actually just a video from a forum actually that popped up on my YouTube feed featuring Simon Sinek and Trevor Noah. Simon Sinek is an awesome author, written a lot of great business organizational strategy type books. Probably the most famous one's called Start With Why, which you may have heard of. It's a great book. I recommend it. And Trevor Noah is an amazing person, a comedian and author. He was the host of The Daily Show for a long time. He's written an amazing book called Born a Crime, talking about him being born in South Africa and his experience there. And anyway, so the two of them are talking, and the best I can tell from the forum is some kind of business forum where they're talking. And the two of them are on the stage together for 20, 25 minutes talking about friendship and the importance of friendship and the power of friendship, and it's a really powerful piece. I assume maybe we can put a link to this conversation in the show notes or whatever it's called. But anyway, they just Trevor's interviewing Simon, and he says, you know, what's fascinating to you right now? And Simon goes on to say that he's really been fixated on the power of friendship, and so they kind of dive into this back and forth conversation about friendship and why it's important. And in the context where they're talking in a business environment, they're talking about how sometimes it's very common for someone in business or in a business situation to if you have a meeting that comes up, but you also have lunch scheduled with a friend, it's very easy to just cancel on the friend because, you know, it's business and I got to take care of this meeting because it's important. And he's just trying to kind of flip the script on that and saying, how often do we cancel something for work or something else for a friend? Because, you know, that's really what's most important. And so they kind of jive off of each other throughout the conversation. And so I shared it with the family, and we had a great conversation about it. And just like you, Mom, I've been thinking a lot about friendship for the last, you know, ever since I listened, and how I can be a better friend and prioritize. And truth be told, so much goodness comes out of friendship. And sometimes it's easy to kind of get caught up in life and think, I'll talk to them later. But really, when you think about it, those interactions and those experiences you have with your friends are really the things that give us the energy and power to live and be happy. So
well, anyway. I love that, Eli. And I thought it was so interesting. And thank you, by the way, for introducing us to that little conversation. Both Trevor Noah and Simon Sinek were, as it developed, were sort of bemoaning the fact that we're losing the concept of friendship. I mean, we say, well, I've got 500 Facebook friends. And in a way, that's like the opposite of a real friendship.
Well, and not only that, we say, you know, well, the most important things are in our life, of course, are our family and our work and our beliefs.
Personal needs. Where does friendship fit in?
Friendship, we just don't have that on our list every week.
Yeah, it's really true. And I one of the things that caught my eye, first of all, Eli, was his Simon Sinek was talking about a study of rats where, you know, that it was nothing to do with, it was a study about addiction, and they'd put them in a cage by themselves, the rat, with alcohol and with water, and over time, or drugs, over time, the addiction became quite apparent and the rat became an addict. But what happened that was really more interesting than the addiction study was that when they put the rat in with a bunch of other rats, so there was communal living and they were together, they still drank the alcohol, but they did, or the drugs, but they didn't get addicted, which shows the power of friendship.
They preferred the water. What do you think, Eli?
Yeah, I love it. I think It's true, right? Like when we live in isolation, it's easy to kind of get lost in yourself and spiral, right? But interactions with others are really powerful. I love what they went on to talk about, you know, that where Simon, I think it was, said, it's interesting if you look at the world, there are books and industries about how to do better in business, how to be better health-wise, how to be a better parent. But he says there isn't really an industry or books or conversations about how to be a better friend. And yeah. That really struck me too, from the perspective of me personally, but also talking to my own kids. I have four kids ranging from almost 12 down to 3. And I don't think I'd ever had explicit conversations with them about how to be a good friend and what that means. And so that was a great wake up for me to be better at that, to help them, because you know, that's an important skill. I don't know if a skill is the right word to say, but that's a really important life skill, I guess. I'm just going to go with skill. That's important.
I so much agree. Yeah. And if we don't, I mean, think of, you know, if you were to ask parents, what are the 10 things you must absolutely talk with your kids about, you know, you'd get obvious answers like safety and sex and drugs, and you'd get a list of things that almost all parents would agree on. But I wonder how many would put on that, even the top 10 would put friendship and how to be a friend and how to care for other people and so on.
You know, it made me think about a lot of things after we had that discussion, Eli, because I thought, you know, I do have a book group. I love it. I have other little clusters of friends that we keep in touch and so on. But I don't very often think about my friends helping me. I mean, you know, I have so much on my plate right now. And I thought, oh my gosh, I need to think about it, because really people are honored when you ask them to help, unless they're really too busy to help. But, and a lot of them are. But
you really stress.
That's exactly right.
Go ahead, Eli.
Go ahead.
No.
I was going to say there's a beautiful quote that Simon shares, and Trevor likes it so much, he actually has him say it twice. But he says, you don't build trust by offering help. You build trust by asking for it. And so, you know, a lot of times you think as a friend, oh, I'm going to offer to help. And sometimes it's, hey, let me know if you need help, which is kind of this passive, you know, if it happens, great. But I love thinking of the other way is you gain trust by asking for help. So asking your friends for help, asking those around you for help. And that's hard. That's hard for me to do. That's hard for a lot of us to do, because it means you're vulnerable and it means that you're admitting that you need help. But man, anytime I have asked for help, that relationship, that bond grows that much stronger as a result.
And Eli, that had an immediate effect. Like the morning after our fortnightly, mom, and Eli knows this better than anyone, mom would never, I mean, mom is so, you, Linda, are so concerned about inconveniencing anyone, you never, but the very next morning she called and asked for help on this big concert we're doing. And I think, and I mean, didn't one of them, Eli, even go so far as to say, if you're a friend and you don't ever ask me for help, you are dishonoring me. You are taking away the opportunity that I would like to have to serve you as a friend.
Yeah, I started thinking, well, who is my best friend? I was at a place where I just couldn't, I had to have somebody do food while I was doing this meeting that was coming up. And I thought, you know, my best friend next to you, honey, is my sister. I love my sister so much. And I thought, she could do this. She could come in.
And she was honored when you called her, wasn't she?
I don't know.
And it was like, oh my gosh, you never asked me this again.
But I'm sure that she just said, of course, I would love to be there. What time you want me there? And so on. But it is hard for me to ask for help. And I think that really that is one of the keys that I need to be working on.
What else, Eli? Because the fortnightly discussion took that 20 minutes, and it was quite a discussion. We took it a number of different ways. What else was critical?
Yeah, I mean, I think we had some good conversations around what is a friend? You know, is a friend someone who has all the same beliefs as you and has the same maybe interests or things like that? That's obviously one thing, because you're automatically, well, not automatically, but you're maybe more prone to connect with a person like that. But another example of that is maybe seeking out those that are different from you and have different beliefs and different values and different thoughts, and learning from them as a result and sharing together and becoming, you know, having that tight knit connection there. So I won't say which one's better, but I think it's definitely worth a conversation, a thought inside your mind to think, you know.
Well, Jonah came to mind on that one, didn't he?
Yeah, my brother Jonah, I had a chance to, we lived close to him for about a year and a half, a few years ago, and he's the latter of those two I was just talking about. He really seeks out people who are different than him because I think he loves the kind of the nature of learning new things and like, wait, what, why do you think that? What's going on? And having those conversations. And I benefited from that because I got to be friends with some of these people too, who are very different from me, but I learned so much and it was fantastic.
And there, we got into a little bit about how do you maintain a friendship? How are you, I mean, if you were to do like a how-to list for having friends and keeping friends. And of course that led into, you know, how many good friends can you really have? I mean, Tal suggested our Swiss son that, you know, most people in Switzerland, if you asked them, they'd say, well, I have three friends or I have two friends, and they want to maximize the quality of the friendship and not the quantity. And boy, that's a lot to think about, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really kind of a personal thing, but I hope the takeaway from this conversation is that all of us can kind of spend some time thinking about what friendship means to me. There might be some people listening who don't really have any close friends. So maybe this is an opportunity to kind of maybe seek some of those friendships out, or maybe there's some that want to rekindle some friendships from the past that they haven't talked to for a while. And then there's also the balance we talked about, you know, your immediate family, obviously they're some of your closest friends in a lot of situations. Not always, but a lot of times. And then on the other side, you have friends from various phases of life and stuff like that. And so it is a lot to kind of think, how do I juggle? How do I maintain all these relationships? But I think you have to decide what's best for you. But I'm pretty confident in saying that I think if we all do a better job of focusing on friendship and understanding and asking for help, I think our immediate surroundings and the world as a whole would be a lot better place.
We got into the men and women thing, and I think, well, and Trevor Noah and Simon Sinek agreed that women are, generally speaking, much better at friendships than men. And I don't know, I had a little pushback in that in my mind. I like to get together with guys and talk about football. It doesn't qualify as a friendship.
I think it does. I think since this happened, Eli, and friendships don't always necessarily take a lot of time. I have a dear friend who we've known for a lot of years. She's from Ukraine. She just came. She was in the middle of the war and she came here. And I've been thinking, oh, I need to spend more time with him. But I thought with her, and I thought, well, you know what? She knows a whole lot more about genealogy and working on the computer than I do. I need to know more about that. So I called her and asked her if she would meet me at her work,
for hell. Yeah.
where she was doing that. But we didn't talk about the computer. We ended up talking about her life and all the things that had happened. And I loved it. I just loved it because I felt like her friendship was so much deeper. And it took less than an hour, but I feel like we're closer than we've ever been.
Well, Eli, this is a big topic, and we've just got about a minute left. I wish we could go on and on, but how would you sum up, or what else would you want to leave with listeners today on the topic of friendship?
Well, great question. I'd like to just finish by sharing this the same way. Hopefully you'll listen to this conversation because it's really fascinating. But Trevor Noah, as I mentioned, is from South Africa, and he finishes the conversation with a quote in Zulu. He actually says it in Zulu, and I won't try to do that because I don't speak that. But the rough translation, and I'm paraphrasing, is a person is a person only because of the people. And, you know, we are who we are because of the people who are around us. And so I just think that's a beautiful quote and really appreciate the time to be on with you. And I hope we can all be better friends.
Thank you, Eli. Awesome. What a pleasure to have you with us today.
This has really been wonderful. I'm going to be better. And I really appreciate that discovery and just thinking about something I haven't thought about for a long time.
So thanks for joining, all you listeners, and we'll put some of this in the show notes, and we'll see you next time on
Buyers on the Road. See you then. Bye-bye.
Yeah.